Oh, Would you please rise?
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals every kind of soul, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God and seek His forgiveness and life, steadfast and saving God.
Have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and our one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins.
Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is deeply involved for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. morning.
Morning.
Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 14. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors when you obey the Lord your God, by observing the commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law. Because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you'd say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No. The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read Psalm 25 responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
I trust in you. Let me not put you to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are for my blessing.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your commandments and your testimonies.
Our second reading is from Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we are always thank God in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love of the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You listen up. You guys are really good. I understand. Who grade are you? Come on up. Who grade are you?
Let's make it see. Be on seat. See, after I write the sermon, then I have to figure out what age it kind of fits into. So it fits into you guys' age, okay? So one thing in the text today, it talks about learning. So it seems like it teaches something today you don't know. But if you already know what you can tell me about when you get done, okay? I want you to do the rest. Okay. So this is a copy of the Bible. And it's written out of paper. What's that paper made out of? Tree. Okay? So they've been printing books for books like this for several hundred years. And, in fact, Martin Luther, on his age, was when they came up with a printing press that made it possible to do this before. So they could do this. Before that, books were basically in rolls kind of stuff. So before they made books out of paper from trees, what did they use for paper? Fur. What animal? Sheep and goats were the other ones that were, but they were rarely available to the farmers, so that's what they do it for. So, what is the Constitution of the United States government written on? Our Constitution and Declaration of Independence? Is it written on paper like this? You remember this in school yet? You think so? Or remember from school? No, it's written on analyze because it lasts. In fact, when they talk about finding old pieces of the Bible that were written, those are all in Amorites because they will last a long time. So, you recognize this? What's it look like? I know it's a skin. What kind of animal? Oh, very good. So, I get it. That has been tanned. So, one of the ways they can tan hides is that you need the hair on, so you get this. You use the short stuff. I, in fact, have a hide from Africa at home. I didn't bring it because it's big. That's ready to be made into a drone. And in that case, they simply kill the goat and get the hide. It's ready. Anyhow, to put it on the drone, you put it on this way with the fur up, which I didn't know. And then as you play, the fur wears away. But you do the fur side up. I guess it's a better side to that. Now, another way they can do it is they take and scrape all the hair off, and so both sides are like this. And among other things, they can make them into gloves. So you can go locally and buy gloves and get out of some interesting things. You can gear hides and stuff like that. So if they change the process a little bit, they get this, which sometimes is called Valium. I think there's some other names for it. But this is paper. This is what our Constitution, Declaration of Independence are. Right? So that one says, okay, can you hear that? That one says, calf. And this one says, so they're all a little bit different. But does it feel like paper? Now, you can buy parchment that they use for cooking, and that's a different kind of thing. But this would also be called parchment. Now, when I called a guy here in Wisconsin to get these samples, he said, did they want to rough them up some? I said, rough them up? He said, yeah. If people use these to do calligraphy on, in the hands already, they rough up this a little bit so the ink will stick better. So, this is what the Bible was all originally written on. It was parchment. Probably, most of it was from sheep. Because that's what they grew the most of. Over there. So, you can still do it in the same. There's companies that still write it when they can't hide it instead of that way, they do it this way. But this still amazes me. Because this is the same thing. You know what I mean? You don't even look alike, do you? But yet, if you do the process a little bit different, you get paper. And so then, what they would do is they would roll it up. And big scroll, and probably someplace. Okay, did you see how big this hide is? This is probably if you could only write a couple chapters on it. So how do you put two pieces together, what would you use in school? Table. Didn't have them then. But you have them in school if they have that. What do you think? Glue. Yeah. They're glued together. Among the things they made glue out of was fish. There's fish glue and there's you can make glue out of milk. You didn't really make glue out of milk. There's glue in milk. That's how some cheese sticks together. There's glue in it. It's the kind you can eat. Yeah, so you can make glue from milk. And you can make glue from flour. And also, there's stuff in hides that they can scrape out and make into glue also. So now I'll give you the ring. This is what text glue shows up in the Bible. You never guess. So there's up in the marriage text. Therefore, a man should be joined to his wife. The word for joined in Greek is glued. So part of the Esau marriage back then is gluing two people together. I don't know, when we talk that way this day. The Esau marriage is kind of gluing two people together. I think it's kind of interesting. Some of their metaphors. So, anyway, this is parchment, and that's what we use for paper. And you can still use it in our hand. And it makes neat ball hangings. It hangs right in there. But it needs to last. Taken care of. So you don't get a lot of stuff like that. Yeah. So, did you learn anything? Somebody? A whole lot of new things. Look at it. Will you guys pray with me, please? Lord God, I thank you this day. I pray that we may be always students, always learning, no matter what our age is. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you guys have a story time? That's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay? So you go back to see. It's kind of fun sitting down here. What's that?
You just can't get up.
I know. My son, we have the Boy Scouts in church and the little ones, the Cub Scouts. And I got done with the children's sermon and I was struggling to get up. And one of the boys goes, can I help you? My hand can even go up to the chokehold. Which I'm so nervous about. And I said, no, you cannot help me. And then I turned to him and I said, well, thank you. You've learned about scouting to help other people. I was impressed. I thought it was just coming. And I've been struggling now all the way up. So it may not be graceful, but at least still get up without too much help. One of my things, I love is storytelling. I'm the family storyteller all of my life. And one of the things about scripture and storytelling, I like to do the thing about what do you picture? And so my favorite one to do is Christmas. And ask people, what do they picture in their mind when someone starts reading the Christmas story? What do the wise men look like? What do the shepherds look like? What does the building look like? The Mary and Joseph. How do we picture that? And so to me, that's part of the fun. And so this morning, I'm going to do the story. So I don't want you to look at the gospel text. I want you instead to picture it as I talk about it. And you will hear how I see it, how I picture it, that I've learned over the years. So one of Jesus' cousins, one day, comes up to him and says to him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Very valid question. And Jesus said, well, what do you read? What do you read? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all of those. What do you read? Well, his cousin, I shall love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and my neighbor as myself. And Jesus goes, I read. Go do it. To continue the conversation, the man turns to Jesus and goes, who is my neighbor? Which is an interesting, valid question in the year 2019, as it was back then. Who is my neighbor that I am to love like I love God? In fact, people do this hierarchy with God, neighbor, and self, and I think they're all on the same line. that we do not love God any more than we love our neighbor. We do not love God any more than we love ourselves. I don't think it's possible. And Scripture tends to agree with that. We say we love and we hate. That's what we love. So I think they're all in the same line. Now, when I was a kid growing up on the farm, and this text would come up, love your neighbor as yourself, I was pretty certain who they were. If you drew a circle around where we live, basically, as everybody went to Western Prairie Lutheran Church, they were my neighbors. My sisters and my brother were not. They lived in the same house. So how could they be neighbors? So I knew I had to love the neighbors, but I didn't think I had to love my sisters and brother. Because they weren't neighbors. How can you be neighbors if you live in the same house? They said to me, I didn't tell anybody this, though, because they often, my mother disagreed with my interpretation of who under others is she's having a new one himself, whatever the rule is. Because I maintain if I hit my brother, I should expect him to hit me back. And my mother disagreed with that. I don't remember what her argument was, but I never won, because she was always right and I was wrong. But it made sense to me. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. So if I hit him, should I be surprised if he hit him? Be back. Of course, my favorite was, because my brother and I followed up for a certain reason. Anyhow, we'd be in the car, don't touch me. Move away from me. I'm touching you. Because of this whole thing. And then they would ask the most ridiculous question in the world to me. And I'll go, who started it? It's been going on for 4 days. What are you staring at? That was not a good response. Of course, that was the same thing as talking smart. Quit talking smart. What do you want me to do, talk dumb? I'm ready to get me in trouble. But I thought it was a setup and a joke. Because they all told us to be smart and intelligent. And all of a sudden, it was quite maybe smart. They leave off smart out, of course. Didn't make sense to me, so I thought it was set up for a joke. It wasn't. Who's my neighbor? So, back then, there were those who argued that it was, once you decided, this is my neighbor and this is not the neighbor, then it was pretty clear. You loved the one and you hated the other. And that was pretty black and white. I'm not sure if it was quite that so, but there's some evidence to suggest that that was their approach. You loved the neighbor and you hated the non-neighbor. So who was the neighbor? Well, remember, these are all Hebrews in the story, or Jews, they were calling themselves in Jesus' name. So, his cousins, this lawyer who stands up, is one of his cousins. It's a relative of his who stands up and asks the question. And so, pretty much, you hate it, you love all the same people of the same blood, nationality, and faith. That's pretty easy. And if they weren't, you hated them. Now, secondly, though, there were what were called sanctuary cities that were provided for in the Old Testament. And those were people trying to get a safe place to live. They were your neighbors. And you were to love them also. So they were not the hate group either in Scripture. They were the love group. You love them. They're your neighbors. You're giving them a place, a safe place to live. And certain cities in the Old Testament were designated as sanctuary cities. So they were called in Hebrew. They were to be a safe place for the enemy, former enemy, to live amongst their other neighbors, who were Hebrews and Jews. So that was another one that was clear. Now the Samaritans were an interesting problem. When the Hebrews got to the land of Israel, there got to be a division among them. And part of the group said, God told us to build our temple in Jerusalem. And the other group said, no, we build it here called Gezerim, I think is how you pronounce it. And they became the Samaritans. They were cousins. But they were hated. They were so disliked between the Samaritans and the Jews that often they wouldn't even walk on each other's land. They would walk around the part of the Samaria and the Jews. They were the black sheep of the family. So the Samaritans were to be hated. Their cousins. Don't like them because they're, even though they're cousins. So it's an interesting question. Who is my neighbor that I am to love? The guy asks you. So Jesus tells them a story. One of the cousins was walking down the road one day, headed by the means to Jericho, and as he was walking along down to Jericho, a bunch of the cousins jumped up from behind rocks and trees there and beat him up, stole what he had and left him for half dead. Now, since I was a kid, I've always wondered what's half dead. Is that different than three-quarter staff? A quarter staff? I had a nurse one time who told me the right answer, and I forgot it immediately. What's happening? See, for me, I grew up at a time in which it was nothing unusual for our dads, especially, to turn to us and go, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to beat you to an inch of your life. And it worked. Scared us, something fierce, because what if they screwed up and did a half an inch? What was 2 inches? We didn't even know what an inch was, but we also didn't dare ask. You did not say, Dad, what's an inch of my life? Woo! What I have heard of them. But I always wondered, what was an inch of your life? So in this text, it's like, what's half dead? The metaphor fascinates me. They left him as half dead. Not three quarters dead, not a quarter dead, but half dead. Name's a ball. The first guy that comes by is a priest, another cousin. You would have recognized the man as his cousin. You would have recognized him as a member of the household of faith. You would have known, if not his name, you would have recognized him as. It's kind of like when we went to youth gatherings, they could always tell them you're tourists. You know how you tell you're a tourist and you're downtown Chicago? Look at that building. Look how tall it is. It's huge. They're the only ones looking up at the building. There goes looking underground, making sure they don't want to. Fire truck was by. We've never seen that big of a fire truck in our entire life. So we all stopped and looked at it and got lost. Boy, was our 4-H leader mad at us. The lights changed and we missed the light. What were you guys doing? You're supposed to be with them? Watching the fire truck go by. We've never seen anything like that. No, this guy would have known it was his relative laying there. And what does he do? He sees him. Now, one of the other things about the priest is he's probably could read. Only 3% of their population could read, approximately. Our population in all the other way around, we are seen as a country is almost fully literate. Almost everybody can read. Still running people struggle with different abilities to read. But we could read. This guy would have been one of those who would have read what we call the Old Testament. He would have read the law, the prophets, the Psalms. He would have known them from reading them in all likelihood. So he knew what care meant. He sees his cousin laying by the side of the road, and he walks on the other side of the road. He walks on the other side of the road. Next comes a Levite. Now, a Levite would be like the organist, somebody who works at the temple. Probably didn't know how to read, but would have heard repeatedly the scriptures read to them. That's all they were passed on by reading and memorization. They would have heard the same thing about what's ordinary care. He sees his cousin. These guys are both related. That's how the people would have heard the story. Sees his cousin playing half dead. Sees him and walks on the other side of the road. Just leaves him there. I guess to get three quarters dead and to die. Now, in confirmation class, I talked to the kids about what's ordinary care in our day. And the kids go, what do you mean ordinary care? I said, what's the least we should do when we see something? Kids' hands go up. Dial 911. My kids learned that in kindergarten. Hey, well, Dad, if you fall down and we can't get you up and you're half dead, I'm supposed to dial 911. What do you do then? I don't know. But they said dial 911. They knew that. It's a kid. They did a thing on the news one night. They were showing that they did this in New York City where they had a little girl being abducted by somebody on the main road and they were taping it and the guy would grab her and as he would start to pull her among the lines, he would yell, you're not my dad. They spent the whole day taping it. Not one person the entire day even dialed 911. They showed people just walking right by. You know, kind of looking away and all that stuff. Didn't even know. At the end of the day, she happened to be white, she was doing it in dress clothes, was doing that, and at the end of the day, two young black men who knew what to do when there's danger separated so they could be on either side of the guy. And as they were doing that, there was a white guy in the background glad to find the 911. And as soon as the cop saw that they knew what to do, he put his hands up and he goes, I'm a cop, this will be a case. It took all day for somebody to order your hair. We're driving down the highway at Fishman Falls one day, and there's a cow in the middle of the road. Guess what I did? I called 911. Hi, can I help you guys? This is Pastor Wall. I'm Christian. Oh, yeah. What can I do here? There's a cow walking down the middle of the road. What do you want me to do about it? I wanted you to know there's a cow walking down the middle of the road. You know where it's going? I assume the Pigeon Falls, the same cow I'm going to. Well, I don't have anybody to send out right now. I said, well, okay, but I just want you to know there's a cow in the middle of the highway. It's kind of dangerous. In fact, one day, the same farm, I was coming north out of Pigeon, and there were cows out. Not only did I pull into the place, but the school bus did. Because the school bus almost hit one of the cows. And the driver wanted his kids to be safe. Ordinary care. By the way, I've done this with kids many times. And I go, you're with your brother, and something happens, and mom or dad are not available. This is before 9/11. I said, what do you do? Almost every kid called grandma. And I said, why do you call grandma? Because I know grandma's home. So we used to live in Santa Fe, and I did it. And they go, I call Louie. I thought they'd get a hold of me. None of them did that. Of course, I didn't live downtown. I lived out, by the way. They call Louie. And I said, why would you call Louie? Because we know Louie will get something done. They knew who to call. Now most of them go, I call 911. Most of them still call grandma, because they know grandma will be there, and grandma will know what to do. Ordinary care. Yep. So, third person coming off, the black sheep of the family, the person who is to hate and be hated by the guy who's laying in the ditch, half dead. Even when he's half dead, he's still going to be able to hate in that kind of world. And he comes along, and he sees him, his cousin, who he is to hate. And he has compassion for him. Greek word is marvelous word. It's the word to feel someone else's pain. He feels the pain of his cousin who he is to hate laying there after him. He goes over and kneels down. He takes out olive oil and wine, interesting thing. He uses that on bandages him up, puts him on his donkey, and takes him into town and finds a place for him to stay. That's 911. That's ordinary care in that day. You can help a person in. The next day, he gets up, he goes up, and he gives the person who's building or whatever it is a couple of dollars. Give some money. And he says, here's the outmaker, and I'll come back in another day, and I will pay for whatever it costs. In storytelling, the paying for the one is for this. Do you guys know the metaphor you see from the knife here? And in storytelling, when he offers to pay for the knife, see, that's when you turn the knife. And that's when it's really the story of God's coming home. So he strikes the knife in and turns that way. He goes way above and beyond ordinary care. It was not that, it's the expectation of that. So, Jesus turns to his cousin and says, okay, so which one was the neighbor? And they translated it a couple different ways. It's interesting because in the one case, they get the one who was neighborly, which makes sense. Other ones translated the one who showed mercy. But the word for mercy is another word. It's not the same word. It's another word for compassion. The one who felt the other one's pain. And Jesus turns to this cousin of his and says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go be neighborly. And Jesus saying, well, pray. Amen. There we go. We'll continue with the offering.
By rule in the Catholic Church, there has to be gluten in it to define it as meat.
so little in it that it doesn't seem to really affect those who need to be gluten-free. But it's an interesting side note. What's gluten-free bread? Usually it's rice. Because rice isn't gluten. But they have to put something else in it for gluten. Right? Keep it to stick together. But I still love that thing when we go there because we get non-alcoholic wine. Are you sure this isn't great? I love to say that I'll help them better than beer. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is in the covenant of my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in
heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power of the glory of our Lord, now and forever. Amen.
Come for all the ready. to you. So, does Randy know what to make? That's not the time to rise and then sit, or do you just do it off the net?
Hopefully off the
net. So I don't need to say to you, right? Okay. We give you thanks, O God, that you offer us your table and satisfy our needs and hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, faith shine in you with grace and mercy. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.